Paid for by IMIC Incorporated.
The Cure with Amy Cabo is brought to you by IMIC Research. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. I created this show as a safe space and to show that there is hope after going through difficulties, no matter what type. I'm trying to use testimonies to that effect and inviting professionals that can help with suggestions. We discussed powerful topics and had incredible guests over the course of the last months. We've talked about abuse, how to overcome it, prevention, post-traumatic stress disorder, including other mental health issues, its symptoms, available treatments, and other forms of suffering. As a survivor, I hope to inspire others, encourage transparency, and find strength in knowing that those who suffer are not alone, and those that heal against insurmountable odds do exist. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov.
Hello, how are you?
I was thinking about something the other day, that documentary, Leaving Neverland. One of the guys, the documentary about Michael Jackson, one of the guys in the end, it left an impression on me what he said in the end. He said, "We are still just kids. Just we got older. Just a little older." And I thought about it. I thought it was very honest. I can understand. I'm like a kid at times. I get excited about little things. But that's only one example. There's thinking like a teenager, where everything can be the end of the world, lacking consideration towards consequences, and having a distorted negative point of view, rage, impatience, and sometimes even rude. What you would call symptoms of PTSD, depression, or simply regression. But those who considerably suffer for a long time are not the easiest people. And it takes a super understanding and loving support system. Patience, at best, at least with me, 25 years of suffering, 16 years trying to figure it out, and 3 years finally learning. Just the other day, I started reading a book about saints that fought with the devil. And one saint asked God, "Why didn't you save me until the end and allowed so much suffering for so long?" Well, then God then explained, that's how a masterpiece is made. Something to the effect that great things take a long time. And it is true that had I not experienced all that I have in life, and if life was rosy with doctors for parents, I'd probably be a big brat. And even for someone like me, that there was supposed to be no hope, at least to the psychiatrist who first spoke to me when I was 15 years old, healing was still possible because there is always God. That just comes to show how anything is possible for God, evidence that there is always hope. I started seeing things more clearly. I understood more. My attitude improved in a positive way and my actions turned worthy. The day I connected with God through prayer. But there is someone who knows so much more about having a positive attitude in life, and maybe he can guide you so it doesn't take you as long as me. So today we'll be talking about having a positive attitude towards life. Our special guest is Christopher Felton. Christopher Felton is the author of Remember Yourself, A Healing Journey Through Your Universe. This is a help self book and journal, and he quotes, "Their social interaction have been strangled by the heaviness of their pain, and their enthusiasm has been immobilized by disappointment and frustration." He's also a former state trooper. He's a prolific public speaker who has taught about world religions. And he's also the author of the book Cipher Den, and the Fervent Exchange, and his articles have appeared in the Times Magazine. Hi, Christopher. Thank you for joining us.
How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Christopher, I have to tell you, I mean, stress and worry and anger and depression afflict many millions in the world today. And Americans can relate, certainly relate, because I heard a poll that we rank among the most negative people on Earth, according to the Gallup poll. So why is that? And are you one of these negative people? If so, how can you drill down to the bottom of your negativity, find the reason behind it, change your outlook, and become a positive person who sees a glass half full, not half empty? Do you have any suggestions?
Absolutely. Well, first, Amy, I think that it's important to realize that we are, it's not a linear perspective. We are human beings, you know, and we're chock full of so many different emotions and psychological maladies and cultural imperatives, you know, that we are just bludgeoned by so many things around us. But there are certain techniques and tools that we can use to get us on the right track. You know, like for instance, in society, we've been taught that a one-sided view of giving is better than receiving. But look at it like this. Many of us speak of our passion for helping others, but we overlook ourselves in the process, you know, or we'll counsel others in their time of need or distress, but we won't get the counseling that we need for ourselves. So I think what happens is there is an imbalance between what we do for others and what we do for ourselves, all without realizing that when we do for ourselves, it puts us in a better position to be helpful for others.
Yes, I agree. And one of the things that you were saying, when sometimes people want to do a kind thing for you and you want to be kind back and you say, oh, no, it's okay. But then how do you know that that person needs to feel good about themselves, that they've done something kind? So you can look at it in a different way. Okay, I'll let this person do this kind deed because it's not so much about me looking kind or me looking good, but how I might make that person feel better.
Right. And we don't always know, you know, exactly. We wear facades in so many different facets of life. You know, we're taught through society or culture to, you know, wear certain facades. We're through our courtesies and our mannerisms. You know, to be honest with you, we're taught that there's a certain level of dishonesty that needs to be put forth, lest the other person think that we're being a little harsh or, just hard. So the most important thing that I've come to realize is that regardless of what we think the other person needs, regardless of what the other person tells us, our character, the truth of who we are, should always come through. So if we want to give, then give. If we see that the person is in distress or they are in need, then we do something according to our urge to do it, you know, rather than letting another person tell us not to give of ourselves or our resources. Because oftentimes I've recognized that when a person is saying no, or they're trying to be polite, or they're rejecting what we have, they greatly appreciate it at a later time.
Yes, and I do believe you get what you put in.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, really, it's like the same thing. Treat others the way that you would like to be treated. All those basic guidelines, I think, were very good that Jesus gave us. And, yes, and I see what you're saying, that once we're able to change our outlook and to change ourselves and become a better person ourselves, then we're able to set a good example and help others.
Right.
But unfortunately, a lot of us fall into the trap of this mental hole that we just have to see things in a negative way. And not everybody finds comfort in prayer like I did or takes as long as I did. But what suggestions do you have to prevent people from falling into that mental hole, that way of thinking?
Well, in my book, I actually have exercises and techniques that have proven to be very, very effective. I just got the book and a few more prisons for prison programs as well as the mental health clinics, and they're starting to become part of the like depression groups and addiction groups. And the reason why I think that it's spreading the way it is because the book facilitates you through a process. The book isn't telling you what to believe or what to think or what to do. I have it formatted so that it asks you certain targeted questions. And then when you answer those questions, there are exercises for those questions, the answers to those questions to help you better understand yourself. And then in the latter part of the book, there is a targeted journal. And that the reason why I call it the targeted journal, because it isn't just a page with lines on it. There are...
And which of the three books is this? I'm sorry, you wrote three books. You're talking about which one?
Oh, this is Remember Yourself.
Remembering Yourself.
Your inner verse.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify.
Sure, sure. And so that targeted journal, it has a battery of four questions. And when you answer them on a daily basis, you'll slowly start to see that each day begins to improve. And as I said earlier, we're still human, so, you know, nothing is perfect. We're going to have our upside and our downside. But it is amazing to see how people come to a realization of things that they have suppressed or even repressed because they just have not done any form of introspection. And this book helps you to do that.
Nice. That would be much easier than pure faith alone, right?
Oh, it makes a huge difference.
I guess I did it the hard way. But that's really great. And I know that a lot of people in today's world are in need of that because there's so many of us that suffer. And, well, Boris, you can attest to how long it took for me to come around, how many years of depression I went through. And it's okay. It doesn't matter if it takes a long time.
Right.
That means there is no hope. It's never too late to do the wrong thing. Go ahead.
The wrong thing or the right thing?
I mean, it's never too late to do the right thing. That's
well,
right.
Or maybe too late to do the wrong thing. But, yeah,
right
it
thing.
Can take
yes,
forever
right.
sometimes. And, yes, you just need to keep the faith, I guess. I don't know. Christopher, I was
yes, sir.
Looking into your biography. It's very interesting. So you're a sharpshooter.
Yes, yes. I was an expert sharpshooter shooter with the Maryland State Police.
That's don't get
cool.
him mad.
No, he's a friend, right? But, thinking about problems, sometimes it's not easy. And then it's something interesting that I read in your website, too, is that sometimes we really don't know what is making us sad. So how
right.
do you go about actually finding that? I mean, do you start speaking with friends about it or you go through certain exercises, you say?
You know, that's a great
yeah.
question because for yeah. a long time I went through years not knowing. I was feeling bad and I did not know why.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question.
Yes.
That actually goes back to what I said earlier about the techniques and exercises that I have in the book. One thing I've come to realize that it's not always so much of what makes us sad as much as what we're not doing that brings us joy. And it's that what we're not doing that brings us joy that makes us sad, if that makes any sense.
Yes,
and
it
so
does.
I have this battery of questions because... You know, it centers around the reader. The book is, the reason why the book is unique is because it is interactive.
Nice.
You know, it facilitates you, but you have to interact. You don't just read it and put it down. You have to answer the questions. It gives you things to introspect on and to think about. It gives you exercises to complete. And I've heard a lot of people say that they can't put it down because it's almost like they're getting reacquainted with an old friend, and that old friend...
Mm-hmm.
Are themselves, you know, and so, you know, to make you think, you know, what is it, what are my favorite these things, my favorite this and my favorite this,
right.
And, you know,
and
you
if
have
anybody,
a love
if anybody wants to, if they forget the book or they want the book in the website, my website,
or his website,
or your,
yes.
or your website, they
yes,
can get the book or
Amazon. Oh, yeah, you can go to Amazon, and you can also go to rememberyourself.life, L-I-F-E, rememberyourself.life. And you can order from there, or you can pull up Remember Yourself The Healing Journey Through Your Universe on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com.
Nice. And for those that are tuning in, this is The Cure. I'm Amy Cabo, and you're listening to The Host. And today's show, we're focusing on having a positive attitude despite the circumstances. Please call us to share your story, or if you have any positive or negative attitudes to share, we would love to hear from you. Our number is 305-541-2350. Again, that's 305-541-2350. We are joined by Christopher Felton, and you're listening to The Cure.
Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com.
If you suffer from persistent depression, call Neurosciences Medical Clinic to schedule a free consultation for new effective FDA-approved treatments such as intranasal ketamine or NeuroStar TMS, a no-medication treatment. Neurosciences Medical Clinic. Call now, 786-600-7005. Neurosciences Medical Clinic, 786-600-7005, 786-600-7005.
And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Welcome back to The Cure. I'm Amy, and I'm your host. If this is your first time tuning in, we are joined by Christopher Felton. We are talking about having a positive attitude despite any circumstances. We also have here Boris Nikolov, who's always joining me, my co-host. Very nice. So, Christopher, tell me, because there are other things in life. Like, I know that you could get really down because, you know, problems or things that you've experienced in the past that you don't know how to cope with.
Right.
And, I mean, okay, if you're a drug addict, eventually it becomes too much or it becomes too dangerous and you find help. If you're poor, it's possible to still be happy if you learn to appreciate the little things that you have and you keep things nice and you take care of your things. But what about if you have a thug life? What about if you're a gang member? How do you maintain a positive attitude? How do you not eventually deal with stress and depression, which is something that's very well documented? In fact, if you guys will bear with me, I have a very interesting testimonial I'd like to share about a notorious gang member turned preacher. It's amazing. And I'll tell you right now, Rene Level Martinez was a respected leader of a powerful gang. He was living a thug life in the streets of Miami, where stealing, getting into fights, and dealing drugs were just the norm. Rene has been through a lot of painful experiences. Rene became a father, and he desired to make money for his daughter. Bare knuckle fighting, and became a professional mixed martial arts fighter. God made him successful in his career as a professional fighter. He had all the fame and money, but still felt empty inside. Rene saw demons his whole life. When Rene was in his studio one night, he felt demons all over him. And it was so intense. Sorry, there's a commercial now that I have to wait, and that's what Facebook does. It gives you a commercial, a dog eating some food from a dog bowl.
Don't tell the name then.
Just bear with me. Cute dog, though, I have to admit. It was so intense, but he suddenly felt God talking to him and realized that God was protecting him all along. He saw his life flash before his eyes. And he realized that it was Jesus who saved him. He repented and cried out to God on his knees, raising his hands. He got baptized in the name of Jesus. Renee encountered the love of Jesus Christ. He started to live a life full of love, freedom, and redemption. He was now a bold follower of Christ, praying, preaching, and baptizing people. His whole life changed. And he commits himself to share the love with others, especially those who experience the wrath of gang violence and drug abuse. His life is a powerful testimony that God can entirely change the life of someone. So, Christopher, I have to tell you that I tried everything, and I've been through therapy, and psychiatrists didn't work for me, and I went through self-medicating, and I tried everything. And unfortunately, I didn't have your workbook. That would have been helpful. But it was when I prayed every day, and I had faith, and it was by loving others that I learned to love myself.
Right.
And it was when God proved how much he loved me, because I swear God forgot about me, or maybe I wasn't worthy of God's help. I mean, 14 years custody battle. I asked since the first year, please take it away. And I thought God had forgotten about me. But then when God blessed me with the family that I have, the children and my pets, I mean, he blessed me more than I can ever imagine. And I thought, if God could love me unconditionally and he can love me this much, then I can maybe love myself and love others.
Mm.
So, Christopher, I wanted to ask you, in your book, since now we have this tool, thank God, what are some of the things that you outline in your workbook that can change someone's outlook from a negative viewpoint to a positive one?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I begin? I have it set up in a way in which the reader, you know, when I was not only in the police force, I was also in the military. And in the military,
nice.
There was a saying that you break them down and then you build them back up. Now, the book doesn't necessarily break you down, but it does expose you. And then, so let me give you what I mean. There are five main chapters. The first chapter, it's called Recognizing Dismemberment. What that does is I have nothing but questions and exercises to get to the nooks and the crannies of who you are. It teaches you how to introspect, and it brings up answers in you about things that you really didn't know about yourself. The second chapter is called...
I feel you have to be broken sometimes to be able to find your way. To find God.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, Amy, there is, you know, and I'm not to get off track here, but there is, in Japanese culture, there is something called kintsukuroi.
Okay.
Kintsukuroi is basically the art of mending cracks in bowls with gold. And so when the bowl breaks, where so many of us would just throw the bowl away, what the Japanese do is they take those pieces of the bowl, and they inlay it, those cracks, with gold. And so what happens is not only does it make the bowl more beautiful, but it makes it more valuable than it was before it broke. And so...
And did it take more hard work to put together than before it broke?
It did take work, but that's with anything of value.
FN.
You know, and so, and that's why I consider my book the literary version of kintsukuroi, because it takes you through a process of getting to know yourself, and then how to listen to yourself, and then it teaches you to take that information and love yourself. And once you've gotten to the point where you're loving yourself, now what it does is it puts you in a position to manifest the things in your life that you never before thought you'd be able to manifest. And there's even a journal in the last, I'd say, 3/5 of the book that keeps you on track to make sure that you know how to do that. And I think that's why there's been an outcry in the prisons for it, because we have one prison, for instance, here in Maryland, where the guys thought there weren't going to be enough money for it, and so they were thinking about getting rid of the program. The prisoners actually got a petition together to make sure that the program stayed there, and it is making a huge difference. So now the prison is not just punitive anymore. It's actually rehabilitative. And nice. I am humbled to know that the book is having that type of effect.
That's amazing. That's just wonderful. That's great, because I understand that, you know, we all have to go through suffering. And maybe is it possible that we don't believe enough in ourselves, that maybe we don't feel like we fit into societal norms?
Absolutely.
Is the environment giving us the role? I mean, is society giving us the script, and in return we play the role? Or can we make our own script and discover our own uniqueness and our own individuality?
Mm.
Which brings me to another question. I'm full of questions. Do you believe there's an over-reliance on medications or maybe codependency, depending on others to influence us for positivity? One time somebody told me, don't tell the kid you're proud of the kid. Tell the kid you must be very proud of yourself. Teaching the person to find worth in themselves.
Yeah, I'm twofold with that question. What I mean by that is I do believe that there is an over-reliance, and I do believe that there is a codependency. But with that being said, that is not me saying that there is no room for it or there's no need for it. There certainly is a need for it. I just think that there are so many people, they just don't know any better. They don't, you know, I commend those that actually take the time to see your therapist and a psychiatrist, because there's still so many people that won't even do it. They won't acknowledge that there's an issue. But with that being said, there are other tools and techniques to employ that are healthier and that are more effective, that would help them on the level of psychological malady that they have.
Nice. And it's so great to have guests like you to be able to create the awareness to let people know that there are such things available, that there's people that care, that there's tools that they can use, that there's a way to have self-reliance and make it in life and have a positive attitude and get out of the depression, that there's right. more to life than most people think.
And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
We're back. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabo and you're listening to The Cure. We're here with Dr. Boris Nikolov and also our special guest, Christopher Felton. Christopher,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you a question. Actually, did you have a question for him?
Yes. Actually, I wanted to run something by you, Christopher.
Sure.
I was wondering, I know, in my opinion, there is a lot of people with stress and depression in the U.S., and I was wondering, I mean,
what's attributing to that?
Why is that? I mean, is it very stressful? Is it like overdiagnosed?
Our environment or our way of thinking, our perception?
Wow.
I think, you know, it was something that I mentioned earlier about these issues, as well as the approach that the book takes, and that is that it's not linear. And what I mean by that, it's usually a conglomeration of things. When it comes to society and the pressures of society, I think that our values have been diverted towards one that is less internal and family-oriented and community-oriented to one that is more materialistic.
Nice.
And then the problem with that is that when we focus on that which is outside of ourselves, you know, materialism, comparing ourselves to others, what they have, who they are in the eyes of so many people, who's popular and who's famous, is we use those, you know, as our goals or things to reach. And the problem with that is that we never have a sense of self. we're always striving like the donkey that's following the carrot that it never attains. And so there's this depression of feeling like we're not good enough, we're not this enough, we're not that enough.
Like being like the Joneses.
Exactly. So that's why the book is so self-centered, not self-centered.
Self-centered,
you know, exactly, because it is so important that we get back to the truth of who we are, and we work from that cipher and expand ourselves outward, because an empty cupboard serves no one. Our cupboards must be stocked in order for us to be, you know, a greater blessing and greater givers to others. And so the principle is the same when it comes to us. We must take care of ourselves. We must have a healthy sense of self-esteem. We must stock our own cupboards so that we can be greater for others.
And not get lost in the process.
Absolutely.
Christopher, usually I have had testimonials on this show, and I think you're a pretty amazing person. First of all, you speak very well. But most people that are inspirational speakers are basically testimonials. They've survived something in their life. They've gone through some hard circumstances, which led them to pay it forward. They wanted to give back to the community.
Right.
And I wanted to know, what is it that encouraged you? What was it, your own life experience that led you to write this book?
It started out, you know, part of in the book, part of the few things that I have in bold is that most of our issues as adults stem from our childhood. And I'm not saying that I necessarily had a bad childhood, but what I'm saying is that I was an internalizer as a child.
Okay.
And people don't understand just how much children see, how much they perceive. And even though what children see and perceive and hear, even though they cannot process it at that moment for what it is, these memories remain with these children so that when they get older and they become adults, they think back to those memories and now they can process them and they're affected by them. You know, so that's one thing. Another thing is, you know, as a state trooper,
I've seen
so much. Yeah.
You
know, and, you know, just one of the things that I've taught my children is that there is no way for me not to live in the yellow zone. Most people live in what's called the green zone, where you just kind of go about your life, you know, your responsibilities, do your things. The yellow zone, there's a different level of awareness. There's a different level of security that you're constantly thinking about because you know on so many occasions how things can go from 0 to 100 in just a second. You know, and those things that you look at and those people that you look at, you can't necessarily tell what's going to happen, you know, and so it is tantamount. I mean, it is just extremely important to me that people come to understand the importance of healthy self-esteem, the importance of being confident, the importance of character and integrity, you know, and being respectful as well as respectable. Those basics to me are the basics of life, is the basis of how we interact with each other, you know, in humanity and as human beings. And so that's why the book focuses on that.
So basically, you grew up compassion from seeing bad things and seeing so much suffering and things like that. And you just basically wanted to teach others a better way.
Yeah, and honestly, Amy, at the first onset, like I said, the thing that I had going for me is because I was an internalizer, it also meant that I was an introspector. I constantly monitored what was going on inside of me. I didn't necessarily know what to do with it, but I just got to the point, I said, look, this is bothering me way too much. It's affecting the way my daily perspective of life. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my sanity. So I came up with my own exercises, and this was over quite a period of time, over a few years.
Nice.
And my wife noticed the difference and saw how it was helping me. And she said, Chris, you know, you can't just keep this to yourself. And the first thing I did when I heard that is I locked down. I'm like, no.
Not me.
You know,
couldn't be.
And it wasn't that I didn't want to share. It's just that I didn't want to feel exposed. I was going to be transparent only to myself.
I get that. Really get that.
No, and I realized, I said, you know what? If this helped me this much, how can I not share it with others? I got to the point where I realized this doesn't even belong to me anymore. I cannot be a participant of humanity and a lover of people and keep this to myself. So I started organizing it, and that's how the book came about.
Nice. It's amazing, because one of the things that I was really making an important point on is the fact of human interaction. Just, I mean, you can have your faith, but you can be in a really, really bad place. Sooner or later, there'll be somebody that will show up, that will be there for you, that will talk to you or lead you in the right way. And just like you, Christopher, I think that God used you to help others, to share your knowledge with others, because not everybody can do it that way. Not everybody right. has the faith or knows how to pray or feels like they can pray, but they can get your book, and or they can go to a therapist, or just the fact that they know that they can do this on their own, and you've made that available. Because to tell you the truth, medication only works 35% of the time.
Right.
The psychiatrist is only there for that one time a month or one time a week. What happens with the rest of our days?
Exactly.
Are we content just existing, or do we feel like we're making a difference towards the better? Whether it's bettering ourselves or bettering others or helping others. You know, every day that I wake up, I think it's just one more day, one more opportunity to do the best that I can do in everything that I do, to treat everyone as kind as I can, and take care of everything that I have, including my little doggies, because they need grooming every day. So, and it's an opportunity to bring about a smile, to do something kind. And that's what did it for me. You know, I could have used your workbook, but that's what did it for me.
Right.
Is feeling that I was a nice person because now my actions were good. Now I'm not doing bad things. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not running away from God, feeling ashamed.
Right.
I'm welcoming him into my life, and I'm using my faith to help others and to share with others. And that's what helped me. And I was able to come through everything. Because I have to tell you, where there's good, evil must exist as well.
Yeah.
And all those bad thoughts, all those negative thoughts, the feeling of depression, the anger, the negative thoughts, I blame that on the devil. And because I know that God is all powerful, all I have to do is pray. And guess what? It works. And for the non-believers, even if it didn't work, hey, that's great. If the mind is so powerful that believing something works can make it happen, why not? Might as well. Right?
Right,
right. That's the way I see it.
You know, it's interesting that you said something. In one part of the book, I have listed 7 natural laws of the universe. And one of those laws is the law of opposites. You had mentioned good and evil. So I think that when you check that part out and when other people see those laws, that's another eye opener when they realize, hey, I never knew that I had this type of power at my fingertips to understand how to use what is intrinsically a part of me to help myself and others.
Here's the thing, the devil is very deceitful. And when people feel depressed or when they get angry and they're rude or mean and then they feel like a monster, they feel terrible, that's the devil. But the thing is, the person feels like they're broken. And then right. society, the norms of society, gives us the script. If you've been abused in your life, you're going to be broken and life is going to be difficult for you. And that's what we tend to believe. We fall into this victim role.
Right.
And it's not necessarily so. It's not so much that we're broken. We're perfectly made. Look how perfect our bodies are. We're made in the image of Christ, for God's sake. So, yes. Don't let the devil fool you. And it's true, because I loved philosophy. And it is true. Where one thing exists, the opposite must exist. Like the left and the right.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Yin and yang.
Yin and yang. Yes, that one too.
Absolutely.
But Christopher, thank you so much. It's been so wonderful talking to you. Again, if anybody wants to get this wonderful book that Christopher has, Remembering Yourself, you can go to rememberyourself.life or you can go to amycabo.com under guests.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with both of you. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Christopher, and God bless.
Thank you. Take care.
This has been The Cure. I'm Amy Cabo. Thank you guys so much for listening.
The Cure with Amy Cabo was brought to you by IMIC Research, 786-310-7477 or www.godisthecure.com. Tune in every Friday at 2 p.m. for The Cure with Amy Cabo right here on 880 The Biz.